Will the legislative council come to order, please? This is March 30th, 2016. It's 5:06, and we're ready to begin our meeting. Pam, if you'd call the roll, please.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Huggins.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Machicki.
Here.
Senator McGuire. Senator Giesel. Representative Chenault.
Present.
Representative Hawker. Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Keto.
Here.
Representative Millett.
Here.
Representative Newman.
Here.
Representative Thompson. Representative Drummond.
Here.
Vice Chair Heron.
Here.
Chair Stevens.
Here. We have 14 members present, the full house. This, of course, is a follow-up to two earlier meetings on December 19th and February 11th, and we're here to address the motion that was passed at our December 19th and February 11th. This motion was passed in our December meeting. That legislative council advises the legislature not to appropriate for the 716 West 4th Avenue lease pending the outcome of the currently pending litigation or unless negotiations between council for the legislature and a state entity within the next 45 days results in a competitive cost on a per square foot of usable space basis. So based on that motion, we're here today to discuss a proposal by the owner of 716 West 4th Avenue. And Before I ask Mr. Pfeiffer to come up, we do have Commissioner Fisher with us, and he has to catch an airplane, so Commissioner, if you'd mind coming forward. He has his arm in a sling. He's got a little argument with ledge counsel, but he's okay now. Thank you, Commissioner, for being here. The basic question that I'd like you to address, Commissioner, is that there's sort of rumors around that the space at the Atwood is not available to us, no longer available. And I'd just like to have some confirmation of that, if you could, please, Commissioner.
Yes, thank you. I want to confirm that the space, we continue to have space available in the Atwood building. I think we've shared that it's about 34,690 square feet. It would consist of the area that formerly was the Diane restaurant on the first floor. That would be the public meeting room, and then there would be two floors in the building as well as some space on the 19th floor that would aggregate, as I say, to about 16,900 square feet. In terms of availability, assuming that a final decision in an RSA is given by early May, I'm happy to go through kind of the steps, but essentially we're looking for availability all of the space to have availability in January of 2018. We do think that the space on the first floor, the public meeting space, as well as some space on the 19th floor could be made available sooner, in approximately about 7 months after the RSA is granted.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate your being here with us. Any questions, Commissioner Fisher? Yes, sir. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you give us an estimate on what it will cost to do the build-outs for us to move in?
Thank you. I should have mentioned that. Our estimate is $3.5 million to do the build-out. That does not include the moving cost associated with moving the legislature, and it assumes that existing fixtures and furnitures and the equipment can be repurposed and moved from the current LIL over to that. To the Atwood space.
One more question,
please, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, also, are there other leases that the state has for state employees throughout the city of Anchorage that we could get out of, or maybe are about to expire, and those state employees could be moving into Atwood?
Through the chair, absolutely. We would, if the legislature does not take this space, we will fill it up with other tenants.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's see, we have somebody down here first. Mr. Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Fisher, do you still have temporary space available on the second floor that could be used in transition?
Through the chair, the space on the second floor is vacant. Our expectation is that we'll be using that, some of that space to effectuate the rest of the build-out, and that that space really wouldn't be available until kind of the early 2018 timeframe. The 19th floor, as I say, the space that is maybe about a third or a quarter of a floor on the 19th floor could be available sooner.
Just to clarify, during the interim, for everyone's knowledge, we have about a dozen people that are in the LIO during the interim. I think about a six folks in the LIO staff. We've got three people, I believe, in ethics, and then some offices have maybe three or four offices keep a person there during the interim. So it's about a dozen people. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on President Meyer, his question of some of the other state offices that could move, depending on what happens today or in the near future, would that move facilitate a savings for the state?
Through the chair, certainly. The commercial lease rate in Anchorage tends to be 3 and change square foot. We have not defined precisely who would move in, so I can't speak to exactly the savings, but if those, as we terminate those leases and move them into the Atwood building, there would be savings because the Atwood building tends to be closer to $1.80 a square foot.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Speaker?
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I think the question was answered. I might not have heard a move-in date or when the space would be available. I know there's some space that may be readily available, but space to move the, I guess, the entire renovation, what date would we be looking at?
So for the entire renovation, we would be looking at being done early in January of 2018, and then with the move, we would expect to see the legislature in the space late January, so the end of January of 2018.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more easy one, I think. Commissioner, the price tag you gave us for preparing the building in this environment, is there a lesser price that might be offer a lower cost than the $3 million than what you're assuming?
Through the chair, are you asking could we do a lesser amount of work and have a lesser cost? Through the chair, I suppose that's a possibility. I think that these are kind of what I would call pro forma estimates. We haven't gone out to bid. We haven't tried to negotiate. It may be possible in this environment that we can negotiate more favorable rates than we've experienced in the past. But for budgetary purposes, we have suggested you consider $3.5 million.
Thank you for the questions. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. I really appreciate your patience. We have been dealing with this since May, and you've always been excellent to work with. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So before I ask Mark to come up to the table, I want to tell you that you've all received the report and the addendum from Navigant. I had hoped we would find a purchase price that to bring to the council that would be comparable to moving into the Atwood. And I, along with our attorneys, Doug Gardner and Serena from Seattle, are at Stoll Reeves, we came up with a figure of $32,500,000, which I shared with the owners. And they came back with a counter figure of $35,450. Then we had a follow-up meeting with Mark, and he changed that purchase price to $33,975. Just so you know the steps we went through. Mr. Pfeffer is here today to discuss this purchase price with the committee, and if you please come forward, Mr. Pfeffer.
Thank you, Chairman.
And introduce your guests there.
Yeah. So my name is Mark Pfeffer. Don McClintock is my attorney, and Don is here primarily to speak to some of the ongoing litigation issues that are going on, because I know there's been some communications about that. So he's not here to attorney negotiate for me. That's me. Just ask Don to try to clarify what's going on with the litigation issues.
And maybe we can clarify too. I had thought. Well, first we had invited Mark to be at the executive session because there were some things he may not want to make public. But what he's asked instead is that he make a public presentation at that, and that he also be able to appear in our executive session for some issues that he would not like to, would rather not be public. So please go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So primarily, what I wanted to do is, as I've talked to miscellaneous legislators and ledge council members, there's been a lot of discussion about what happened and when did it happen, and everybody seems to have a little bit different idea of what that chain of events were. So really all I want to do as an intro in a public meeting setting is to walk through the steps of how we got to where we are today, and then I'm happy to discuss any proposed fiscal terms in executive session. I'd like to ask Don, after I'm done with the chain of events thing, to respond to some of the recent emails you might have received from the Alaska Building Inc., Jim Gottstein, on the litigation. So prior to May of 2013, I think Ledge Council went through just about a dozen attempts to find a new house for legislative offices in Anchorage. That was a combination of buy, build, lease through RFIs. And by the time it got to April of 2013, none of those procurement efforts had resulted in a solution. So the Legislative Council approached myself and my partner, the landlord, to provide alternatives for how to extend the lease. And they asked specifically for three choices, A, B, and C. Choice A, we said, was new carpet, new paint, lease rate stays the same. B was new carpet, new paint, repair the bathrooms, fix the elevators, some mechanical upgrades, moderate increase in the rate. Choice C would be a full modernization, which is what we had just done at the old Chevron building down on the Park Strip. We presented that in May of 2013. Ledge Council indicated a preference for a modernization, but indicated they wanted to go out for a request for information one more time, see if anything was else was out there. You did that. You published the RFI. You got two responses, and I wasn't part of that meeting because it was executive session, but my understanding is those were deemed non-responsive, or not non-responsive, but non-acceptable. And so at that point, a new Ledge Council meeting was called for June 7th, I think, of 2013. And at that council meeting, several motions were made. But in general, they were authorizing the chair to move forward to negotiate a lease on a full modernization basis, and authorizing how to do that under the legislature's procurement code, and authorizing hiring AHFC as your representative to be a third party to review whatever it is that we proposed. So at that point, the chair had the authority to enter into a contract without coming back to Ledge Council. He indicated that that was not his preference. He wanted to go through a process. So we spent 3 months from June through August with Legislative Affairs Agency and legislative staff and AHFC. AHFC had a third-party construction cost estimator. They had a third-party appraiser. And as we pulled out whatever it was the scope that the council was looking for in the finished product, we would price that, estimate it, and AHFC would review it and decide if it was fair and reasonable in the marketplace. So that was a back-and-forth process for 3 months. At the end of which, the chair chose to then come back to council. I think that was August 23rd of 2013. And we presented the scope. AHFC presented their findings of cost competitiveness, and there were no objections. This was done in executive session, so the record's a little fuzzy just because there aren't meeting minutes on that. But the open part of the meeting shows that folks came out of the executive session. The chair indicated there were no objections to moving forward. Representative Johnson made a motion to try to negotiate a purchase price with us, and we were set to go. So the only thing remaining at that point was we had to actually sign a lease. And in order for us to move forward on a lease and to do the improvements, we were going to need to be able to finance the improvements. And that meant we were going to have to get past the scrutiny of banks. So we were going to several banks to attempt to finance the project. And the banks wanted to see the T's crossed and the I's dotted before they made that loan. So two key exhibits to the lease were a nine-page procurement officer's finding that I believe was drafted by Ledge Legal and signed by the chair as the procurement officer. And the other key document was a finding of savings under this methodology as compared to providing the same scope in a different place in downtown Anchorage. That's kind of a tricky concept because at that time there was no ability to lease more than maybe 10,000-15,000 square feet in any single location in downtown. So if you wanted space with parking on site in the quantities we were talking about, it essentially boiled down to new construction. So the cost comparison was to try to be 10% or less or more below new construction. The AHSC reports concluded that. So there was a finding by the legislative affairs director that that test had been met, and there was a letter that was sent to legislative budget and audit saying that they had met that test, which was required by statute. And then there was a, as part of the procurement officer's finding, there was a notice of to the legislative leadership that the chairman intended to enter into the lease. So that took about 3 weeks, and the lease was then signed September 19th, I think, of that year. And then basically we were in a position of, okay, perform or you're in default under the lease. So we got to work. We acquired the adjacent property. We let the construction contracts and we got the project done. We had to get it done by on the schedule. We were obligated to deliver it by December 31st of 2014. As we got close to completion, we were ready to transition from our construction lenders to our long-term lender. The long-term lender was new to the project. He wanted to see the T's crossed, the I's dotted, so he had the lease with the exhibits, the procurement officer's finding, the letter to LBNA. But as in any commercial real estate transaction, that lender also wanted a what's called a subordination and non-disturbance agreement, which is basically something that's signed right before you do the final closing of the financing, and that lender wants the tenant to say everything's in good order, the work is complete, we're satisfied with the results, the scope's been done, all the conditions have been met, and we're ready to commence paying rent on the start date of January 1st. So that agreement came from our lender to Ledge Council, and that was signed by the chairman procurement officer on December 23rd. based on that certification that everything was in good order and good effect, the lender closed on the transaction, paying off our construction loan, and the lease commenced January 1st, then, of 2015. Shortly thereafter, fiscal crisis issues started to kind of raise, and everybody started second-guessing if this was actually the best solution, and the option of relocating to the Atwood building was discussed. I think most of you remember that was quite a discussion last session, and that culminated in the council recommending to the conference committee to fund the full lease, which happened last year, so the 2016 first year's rent payment was funded. But as part of that recommendation from the council, they also asked the chair if he would again another request to attempt to negotiate a purchase price. So during the summer of last year and into September and October, we met with Senator Stevens and Serena and Doug Gardner, and we basically said, you know, the purchase price we believe should be $37 million, which was our cost, and that those were the costs that were validated by the third party before we entered into the contract. If we didn't have those validations and certifications and procurement findings, we wouldn't have entered into the contract, but we did based on those approved costs. So we believe that to be a fair purchase price. Then in December, an analysis was presented to Ledge Council that showed kind of a wide variety of different ways of looking at comparison of costs. I think many of you council members questioned at a meeting on December 4th and again on December 19th if there was really a true third-party analysis done of that. But by the time we got to December 19th, we're 6 days before the holiday, and at that point, you passed the motion that Senator Stevens read earlier, and it in essence said we recommend to the full legislature not funding the lease unless it can be shown to be cost competitive on a usable square foot basis. So we kind of said, okay, well, we think we have a lease that says something, but all right, here's a new target. We've said we're willing to try to jump in and help and see if we can find savings. We realize things are different than when this deal was cut. And so we started to work to see if we could hit that target set in that motion. We asked that a financial consultant be retained by Ledge Council so that there was an independent analysis, and that request was declined. But we submitted our proposal within the 45 days thinking that we believe we've hit the target, but that's what we believe. There was somewhat of an independent analysis by Department of Revenue, who prepared a spreadsheet that said, yes, under these conditions, that is a cost-competitive solution. Council then convened, I think, February 11th and said, yeah, we do need an independent analysis, and because we've got so many different opinions on this. So you retained Navigant Consulting. Over a three-week period, they completed their analysis. They met with myself for an hour and a half, somewhere near the end of that 3 weeks. I provided them my information. And then I think on March 14th, they came out with their report. So we didn't see that report till maybe March 16th. And in essence, it says that if the state were to purchase the building for the $37 million, the lease rate, or the equivalent lease rate to Atwood, would be about 4% higher than Atwood. And it said if the state were to purchase the building for $35.6 million, it would be equivalent to Atwood. And obviously, if you purchase it for less than 35.6, it would be less than the Atwood. So we were pleasantly surprised to see that, yes, we believed we were cost competitive, and we were, according to your consultant. So we believe we've hit that target of that motion from December 19th. Since then, as Senator Stevens said, shortly after that proposal or that report came out, Senator Stevens made an offer to us of $32.5 million. We agreed to lower our price to get within a number that's lower than needed to be competitive with Atwood. So we sent a letter back saying 35.4. Subsequent to that, just this past Monday, there was a conference call with Senator Stevens, Representative Herron, Mr. McClintock, myself, Serena Carlson, and Doug Gardner. And after a bit of what are we going to do, Representative Herron asked if we would be willing to split the difference between those two numbers. And we verbally agreed to that. So it hasn't been done in writing, with the exception of I sent an email this afternoon to confirm that that's what we had verbally agreed to on Monday. So that number is just slightly less than $34 million, which puts it solidly below the cost of Atwood on a usable square foot basis. So the Navigant report also, on page 6, if you have that handy, it highlighted four, but really three, other factors that they didn't address from a financial perspective. They said, and I'm just going from memory here, but it says it doesn't take into account any of the costs or expenses that might be associated with breaking the lease, or any of the relationships that breaking the lease might cause in the business community. It doesn't account solidly for potential cost increases in a move to the Atwood building. I think you just heard the commissioner here say we believe that to be the cost, but might be less, might be more. And then the third point, let me see that version. Thanks. It also then laid out that the office building as designed and built was per your specifications and hits a lot of the criteria that are important to the legislative branch that may or may not be achievable in the Atwood building. So those are intangibles. We believe we've beat the cost per square foot number, plus we have avoid those intangibles. The last thing I guess I'd like to add before Don addresses the litigation issues is several council members have said, we've heard a rumor that you guys have made a lot of money on this project. You know, maybe you guys made $9 million, or maybe you guys made $5 million, or maybe you made $3 million. We, on several occasions by multiple different parties, legislators and others, have been asked if we would be willing to agree to an audit of the cost. And every time we've been asked, we've said yes. If that is, you know, if we go into executive session and talk about numbers and it's important to everybody, we'd almost prefer to insist that there is an audit because we know what our costs are. We know that they were validated up front. We know that they're fair and reasonable. And we'd ask that you get an independent auditor to confirm that for you so that kind of puts that rumor to rest. And I think that's pretty much it in summary on the track record. I guess the point is the first request of us was in April of 2013, can you solve a problem for us? Can you give us solutions? And there have been multiple requests since then, and every time we have those requests, we try to solve the problem. And so far, we think we have every time. So if we can help achieve savings, we're willing to do it. And we're here to talk about that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions before Don might speak to the litigation issues right now.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeffer. Any questions?
Yes, Representative Keto.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I'm not sure if this is really, I guess there is a question and perhaps a comment. I was thinking back to the motion in December, and while you had recounted many things that happened, one of the things you didn't identify was that the other part of the motion indicated that there were either a per square foot comparable or that the lawsuit resulted in a declaration that the lease was invalid. And we do have that second component, which actually says that the lease is invalid. To me, that says that we don't appropriate according to our motion in December. So if I could get some clarification on that first. And then the second item, Mr. Pfeffer, you had identified that you had received, or we as Ledge Council had received, a third or appropriate possible third-party Department of Revenue. And I just wanted to find out for the record, what is your relationship with the Department of Revenue? Do you have any formal role where you're engaged with the Department of Revenue?
No, I'm not engaged with the Department of Revenue, but I am the chairman of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, which is an independent authority. And the Department of Revenue is a resource for us in doing our lending work around the state, but that's an independent relationship. That review happened in December when Mr. Mitchell was requested by a legislator, I'm not sure who, to show up on December 19th and have an opinion. He showed up with a spreadsheet that he said, I'm making a bunch of assumptions because I don't have accurate data, and this has been a quick exercise for me. So he presented that on December 19th. When we were asked to try to hit this target of cost competitive, we asked that an independent third party be hired to analyze the report. We asked in writing, we were told in writing no. So we said, well, the only person left standing, Ada had dropped by the wayside, the only person left standing was the spreadsheet from the Department of Revenue. And we said, we're going to, I think it was through Representative Heron's office, had asked DOR to update their spreadsheet. They asked us for updated information. We provided it. So,
Mr. Chairman, do we have an opportunity, I think, to talk about the Navigant report? There are a few questions I have regarding some of the assumptions made. Will there be somebody from Navigant that
yes,
will be here?
We'll be doing that in executive session. Navigant will be online to answer any questions we have.
Thank you.
Further questions, Mr. Pfeffer? Mr. McClintock, then, did you have some thoughts?
Thank you. Through the chair, members of the council, my name is Don McClintock from the law firm of Ashford & Mason. Actually, responding in part to Representative Keto's last question, the order that came out last week, our firm has filed a motion for reconsideration. The court has ordered additional briefing with responses to our motion due April 11th. Not surprisingly, in the way most litigation is, the from our perspective, the lawsuit is far from over. We think there's some significant errors that were made in the court's order that went beyond actually the question that was presented to him. But that's not to be argued here, but that is the procedural status. The main thing I wanted to address, and just very quickly, because I know there's many important things to talk about here, but you have been the recipients of a number of emails from Mr. Gottstein offering, I guess, gratuitous legal advice to the legislature on how to proceed. It goes without saying that I think you have excellent legal counsel with your ledge counsel staff, and you should look to them for guidance. But a few of the accusations made, I do take some personal affront at, not just for myself, my firm, or Mr. Pfeffer, but also for the staff of your counsel and the participants in the process that went through. Whatever happened, it was all definitely in good faith. The accusations that Mr. Gottstein repeats over and over about outrageous conduct were brought in motions of the court when he asked for punitive damages and quitam damages, and those motions lost. The issue Mr. Gottstein has raised continually, efforts to get into the personal financial affairs of Mr. Pfeffer, the court has basically ruled, at least until this order, that those were not relevant, and he makes, we think, fairly reckless accusations of the status of where things are. And just last, the court has never made a finding of any sort that there's any bad faith that has gone forth in this process on behalf of any of the parties, so I would just let the record stand for itself. I would just note also that at least early in the case, there was no question that Mr. Gottstein acknowledged that his motivation for bringing the case was over money, and he wanted money, and he wasn't paid money, and he brought the case, and we had deposition testimony to that effect. So I think as Mr. Pfeffer has offered both today and through, we of course will protect the rights that 716 has under the contract and in the litigation, but our sincere hope is actually that another path be found to bring everything to a resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clintock. We're shortly going to an executive session. Is there anything further you'd like to bring up in this public meeting, Mr. Pfeffer?
Nope.
Any further questions? So, I'd ask Representative Heron to make a motion for an executive session then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that legislative council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. I ask that the following individuals remain in the room: Pam Barney, Doug Gardner, Katrina Matheny, Linda Hay, Mike Abbott, and any legislative staff working for Ledge Council members, and that Serena Carlson, Kevin Cuddy, and Nigel Hughes remain on the teleconference line. We also welcome any legislators that are not on Ledge Council to remain in the room.
Thank you. Is there an objection to that motion?
Addendum, sorry, Mr. is in addition, the members in executive, people in executive session, Mark Pfeffer, Don McClintock, and Amy Slinker.
I'm sorry, we had planned on early doing the public one. I'm glad you're willing to do the executive session as well. Any objection to that motion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, perhaps I could request a qualification that we are going to be doing internal deliberations so that perhaps we invite Mr. Pfeffer in when we have questions for him as opposed to him being inside when we're actually having that internal deliberation.
My plan is that when we go into executive session, I'll first ask the Municipality Banker to make a presentation, then we'll ask Mr. Pfeffer and his attorney to say anything they want to say in our executive session, then we'll ask them to leave, and we'll continue with our executive session.
Thank you.
If there's no further objection to the motion to go to executive session, then let's take a brief at ease.
Back into session, we are out of our executive session. I just want to report that it was quite extensive, and we had a chance to hear from the City of Municipality of Anchorage on an interest they have in working with us on this project. We've talked to Kevin Cuddy, our attorney with Stoller Reeves out of Anchorage, who talked to us about McClintock letters of the Judge McKay ruling, and we also talked with Nigel Hughes from Navigant and Serena Carlson, our attorney in Seattle with Stroll Reeves, and had quite a good discussion about all of the issues we're facing. And we're now ready to move to a motion. Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council recommend the purchase of 716 West 4th Avenue building and land in the amount of $32,500,000 and authorize the chair to enter into a purchase and sale agreement, which is subject to appropriation by the legislature. Legislative Council will maximize space in the building by consolidating legislative entities.
Thank you, Representative Herron, and we will continue to discuss this issue with the Anchorage Municipality. We'll look at other financing issues, so nothing is precluded from finding a way to actually finance this project. If you're ready for the question, roll call, please.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Michiki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Keto.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Herron.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
13 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you. We're adjourned.